never being able to dance again with his guilty feet.
Got no rhythm.
Guilty feet have got no rhythm. Yeah. It's got to be one of the best lines ever. I'd love to dance, but my guilty feet. I got three guilty feet. Ain't none of them got rhythm. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So Katie's going to kick off with a gem from my husband, Greg, who sent it in to the Hey You Know It at gmail.com.
That's right, because Greg, even though Jaquetta and Greg are married, they live together.
We live together.
She makes him send emails to me.
Yes, because when it comes to Hey You Know It. I might look over it, okay. You know.
All right, the subject says, hey, you didn't know it, rock and roll the cancer.
So, hey, you didn't know it is a segment that we do of the oblivious living among us. I wish there are many. Sometimes we are those oblivious people.
But I don't think this really counts under this, but this is
okay.
Just telling you.
Yeah, I just made like an asshole.
Rock and roll versus cancer, rock wins. Uh-huh. It says, according to researchers at the University of South Australia, rock music is being used to maximize the efficiency of drug delivery to cancer patients.
To what kind of cancer patients? Because I feel like for some groups, rock music may not be the move.
Right. The idea is the vibrations caused by rock music have been found to widen the therapeutic window of a drug by creating a Teflon-like coating over the microparticles used in the delivery of the drug.
That's interesting.
So the music, the vibration is, they say, for example, researchers use Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Of course.
To cause porous silicone microparticles to bounce in the air, allowing the entire structure to be coated with a plasma polymer overlay.
So those particles get down.
All right.
There's some AC/DC.
Senior researchers said that by coating microparticles was difficult, but essential in ensuring optimal amount of the drug was being delivered to the cancerous cells.
Have they tried R&B? How about some Kendrick Lamar?
And so the microparticles are porous, basically like a sponge, and you fill them up with a drug, but of course you want to prevent that drug from escaping.
Really?
Right.
From evading.
So they have the coating, but the vibrations just improve that delivery system, so they know where it's supposed to go.
I feel like they should try different kinds of music.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe some cinema will help.
Yeah, right.
Or, you know, or maybe folk music.
Yeah, or they can come here to Funkadelic Studios.
Yes.
And they can listen and see what kind of vibrations are happening. Because right now, I tell you what, we're in Studio 10, which is in the corner.
Yeah, and there is a band that is here right now that is so amazing.
Yeah.
With the bass.
And they're in Studio 7, so they're down the hall.
We had the door open for a second, and it melted everything in here.
Right.
It shook everything. And it stirred my coffee.
We could feel the vibrations through the floor, and you probably can hear them.
You might be able to hear them in the background. These guys are rocking hard. No cancer in that room.
No.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so thank you, Greg. That's very interesting.
I know that years ago I had an operation, and I remember right before they put me under, the doctor was like, what kind of music do you like? I'm like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Can we get on with this? He's like, how about some reggae? And I remember him putting the reggae music on, and him and all the nurses, for the few seconds when I was still conscious, they were like, yeah.
Oh, really?
They seemed pretty happy about it. And I was happy. Because it was like the last thing I remember was like I heard, you know, No Woman, No Cry. Then I was out.
Yeah, I think that's important, especially for the doctors who were doing the surgery to enjoy the music.
Yeah.
That's being played.
Oh, I was definitely like, whatever you guys want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't worry about me. I'm not going to be out, and I want you to be relaxed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be like put on some hole and then you guys get all freaked out by the lyrics.
I would say just stay away from bagpipes for me.
Period.
Yeah.
I would say stay away from bagpipes always.
Yeah.
Stay away from bagpipes.
Anything else would be okay.
I think I would...
Maybe put like an accordion. I wouldn't like that.
No? What about if it were a gypsy-style accordion music? Like Roma style, no? You were thinking Polish accordion.
Polish,
like an oom-pa-pa band? No.
No. I don't like marching bands either.
You're not into the music of your people?
No.
Did anyone play the accordion growing up or was forced to?
It just reminded me of sad old men.
Sad
old man
trying into a beer.
Of the Knights of Columbus or something.
The VFW, BPOA, yeah. Oh, yeah, those places are... I wonder if those places are still sad. I grew up...
They wear, like, high pants. These guys and a little hat.
Like, a small hat, and they were sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard... I always thought that, too, about accordion music until I went to Eastern Europe, and then I heard it, like, gypsy style.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this isn't bad. And also, in Mexico... But I think it comes from European heritage. There's an integration of, like, accordion into some Mexican music. Mm-hmm. And tubas. It must be your people were down there.
Yeah.
Whipping things up.
I'm sure.
But it's happier. You know, it's a little bit happier.
That's interesting. I don't like the tuba either.
It's not. It's one of those instruments I feel like if you're a kid and you play the tuba, people are just making fun of you all the time. Like, it's just not.
What if you really feel it? Like, I really connect to the sound of the tuba.
Then you just have to deal with it. Yeah. You have to find your people.
Like, yeah, there's room for everybody.
I guess that so you would not be into a bagpipe, accordion, tuba band. That's what I'm going to hire for one of your birthdays. Plus a stripper that goes along with it. With the sad old Polish guys from the VFW.
Yeah, right.
Are you ready to rock? All right.
What do you have?
So, I just saw something here. This was just kind of bizarre. I was looking up something. And I got on this, like, Irish news site. I always end up on Irish news site. It's like a local northern Belfast. So it says, some might call it karma. A man in his 40s is believed to have been taken to a hospital in Belfast last night after a brick that he threw at a charity shop window rebounded and hit him in the face.
What?
So this guy, for some reason, was going around smashing windows. And he went up to this place called PIPS, which is the Public Initiative for Prevention of Suicide and Self-Harm. So I don't know why he'd be attacking them.
Yeah.
Anyway, he tried to attack the place. And I guess the place defended itself because he threw a brick at the window. The brick, and they have it on camera, the brick somehow bounced off the window and hit the dude in the face.
Oh, my God. And he's suing.
No, because it's not the United States. Yeah. But that is like an asshole.
Yeah.
It says... and that, you know, the people, some of the windows got smashed, mm-hmm. but I guess before he was able to smash one of them, that's just such a weird thing. Don't be doing stuff like that, I guess. Like, why are you attacking a charity window? Didn't know it was possible for a brick to rebound off a glass, but I guess it is.
I guess so. I guess, you know, it's one of those really strange things, like, that can happen. I was working in a restaurant once, and they had an old-fashioned popcorn cart.
Okay.
All right. So it's this wooden cart, you know, wooden wheels.
Oh, with the popcorn part on top, like the glass dome or whatever.
Yeah, but and surrounding it on the outside, the frame of it, there were four wooden posts that were probably as thick as a woman's arm.
Okay. Standard woman.
Yeah, standard woman.
Standard woman's arm. Rule of arm.
So it's a pretty solid, giant piece of furniture that's in there.
An antique, one might say.
Yes. And so one of the hosts was pretending to do the Wonder Woman spin, you know, where you kind of wind up and spin around.
Yeah.
So this is what you do when there's no customers in the restaurant.
You got to make it lively.
She started spinning around, and her fingertips did like a karate chop accidentally into one of the posts and split it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she is Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So it was a very odd, unusual, like nobody expected that to happen. And you can't.
Were people watching and
we also
did you erupt into applause?
Like, what is going on? So really odd things can happen like that. So I can believe
it's
that.
It's so weird. Yeah. But it's funny because it has to be exactly the right way. You know what I mean? It's just like there's so many other millions of ways that it could have gone.
Yeah.
But he hit it at just the right angle,
right angle
with the right velocity,
speed,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and just the right part of the whatever that where the, it was strongest.
But imagine this dude's reaction of being like, yeah, I'm gonna be like, oh. Like that's I feel like that is why people like you and I do not do stuff like that. Because I'm pretty sure if we tried to smash something with bricks, we'd get hit in the face with the bricks.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen me, like, trying to eat a sandwich.
Yes.
And it ends up all over my chest.
See? You know, even something as innocuous as that. So, yeah, it's just like a weird piece of news. I really feel like that's something. I'm the kind of person who would, like, you know, go to kick like a leaf and there's like a, you know, 50-pound weight under it.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And I break my foot.
Right, there's a fire hydrant there.
Yes. Obscured by leaves.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to vent my frustrations. Like, oh, great. Yeah. Like an asshole.
Yeah.
that's how I see myself now. I realize that. It comes full circle.
I think I was in fourth grade, and it was snack time, and this one of my classmates, she had popcorn on her desk. It was like, she opened up, I guess it was like wrapped up in saran wrap.
Yeah, because back then, popcorn, not as popular, but okay. She had the forefront of snacks.
Yeah, so she had unwrapped the saran wrap, and the popcorn was there, and I, being a wise guy, decided to grab a piece, and I grabbed a piece, but I grabbed also the saran wrap. When I pulled it away, the whole thing...
She's like, thanks a lot, Katie.
Snack is ruined. It's all over the floor.
Catherine.
Yeah. Catherine, Patricia.
I like it. All right, what do you have?
All right, I have here. This is an article. It's called How to Be a Heartbreaker.
Oh, wow. I love it. Okay, so some parts. How to in three parts.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do this.
All right, the first part is get the attitude.
Okay, tude.
Yeah. You're right. So if you've been played one too many times, you may be thinking of turning into a heartbreaker yourself. Confidence is key. Interested in learning more? Then keep on reading.
Wait a minute. So if people in the past have hurt you, now you're going to try to screw people in the future? Yeah. Then you got to go back there and get those guys or gals.
Yeah. Yeah. So number one is get the attitude. Have fun. Simply put, people...
Because before you weren't.
People who look like they're having fun give the impression they are more fun to be around.
Yeah, we were told that when we were, you know, first getting out there in the dating world. They, like, looked like you had friends. They were cackling like a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to get attention from people.
Like, don't you want to be around us?
Those girls have lost it.
Yeah, so present yourself in a fun, loving, lighthearted way. And you can do this when you choose
fun and lighthearted.
Yeah. It's easier to accomplish in some settings than others. So choose.
Funeral.
Cracking up in the corner.
Yeah, adult bat mitzvah.
So choose your night on the town spot carefully. For example, a club, party, or any other event that involves dancing is a great avenue to showcase your fun side.
Okay.
And this sort
of... This is fun, Jaquetta.
Yeah.
Fun, Katie.
That's my fun
at the club, yeah.
In this sort of setting, dance like you don't care who watches. Oh, you should, actually.
Yeah, you probably should think about that a little bit. You don't want to, like, you know what? Unless you're with your circle,
yeah.
Then you can do whatever you want. Yeah. If you're with your circle, but if it's just like you and another person, you got to be aware.
Yeah. And
because you can say a lot with dancing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you say things you don't mean to say.
And also, you got to watch who have to have like a girl circle to dance in.
Otherwise, guys will just rub on you.
You'll rub their crotches on
you. Which nobody wants.
Nobody wants it. And they
nobody
do this.
When they do it anyway. Crazy. Maybe somebody wants it. I don't know.
Okay. Another thing, smile even when you don't necessarily feel like it. Laugh at jokes even when they aren't necessarily funny.
But then you have to keep doing that for the barrage of bad jokes from the man or woman that you're interested in. You know what I mean? Because then they're like, well, you used to think my jokes are funny. It's like, no, I never did.
No.
I was just putting it on.
Right. But when you do laugh, control your laugh. A tinkling, flirtatious giggle will attract more positive attention.
I think
guffaw.
You should just go for the full Julia Roberts and then eat an apple and a sugar cube afterwards and gallop off. She's the worst.
She is, yeah.
Terrible.
She does. She, you know, guys like her, but she walks like a man.
I'm not sure. Well, you know what? I think guys like her because a lot of guys that I've known, and I'm going to stereotype here just because it's almost always been white guys, they like a horsey woman.
Yeah.
A lot of guys like a long face.
Yeah.
So I guess she fulfills that.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe they also like big ass feet because that goes along with it. I just don't like her. I don't like her acting.
Yeah.
This band is thrashing.
This band
is... I want to go in there and like mosh a little bit.
Can you hear this?
Yes.
Oh my God. All right. So another thing you could do is set the pace. Be the person in the crowd who decides when and what to do next. And never let your opinion get neglected.
What? This is how to be a heartbreaker?
Yeah.
Okay.
If a guy you flirt with suggests heading out to another spot, keep control of the situation by playfully teasing that you'd rather be dancing, hanging out, etc.
Huh?
You're like, hey, who's like, want to go over there in the corner?
No. No, I'm fine right here.
Yeah.
That's how you get... I don't know if that's breaking a heart as so much as, you know, just being obstinate.
If asked where you want to go, come up with a place, even if you aren't dying to go there.
Really? Have a go-to place.
No, just you be in control. Okay. Down here.
Red Lobster.
Number three, play the crowd. When in a crowd of strangers, take the chance to make eyes at a few potential targets. Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's pretty bold.
Okay. It's sometimes hard to find one target.
Yeah. Yeah, some may be turned off by the notion that they have competition. But
oh, wait, are you doing it, like, in quick succession?
Yeah.
Like, am I looking at you and then your friend?
Yeah.
And then as soon as I look at you guys, then I look at another guy and I make it obvious that I'm looking at three guys?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. Where was I when this advice was being given out?
Where were you?
Well, where were you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Right. You're my dumbass. I'm just like, oh, he seems like a nice dude. I'll just focus on that tonight.
Okay. Only reveal emotion that benefits you.
Okay. All right.
Keep your deepest thoughts and feelings a mystery.
Wow. Do you like sushi? Perhaps. Perhaps.
Yeah. Keep the conversation light and away from serious topics. If your mood suddenly sours, resist the urge to express as much outwardly. So keep it inside.
Yeah, keep it in.
Don't let
Also, too, you've targeted several people.
Yeah.
So if it's not working over here, play it over there.
Yeah. Part two is get the look. Show a little skin.
You got the look. Yeah. Show a little skin.
Show some skin. Low-cut tops, mini skirts and mini dresses, and backless tops.
Wow. I always say if it's backless, it's because there's nothing in the front.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't. I have never worn anything backless in my life. I try to put two backs on if I can. I need the support.
Flaunt your best features. Wear clothes that flatter your figure and draw attention to your best features. I think you should do that all the time.
I've got some fantastic calves. I try to get those out there.
Yeah.
As much as I can.
Yeah, if you want to draw attention to your bust, wear necklines that naturally draw the eye to the
bust.
Bust. Isn't that just a funny word?
It is. I like it, though. Bust. I like bust. I like broad. I like dame. I'm bringing those back.
Okay. Number three, splash on a little perfume. Wear a long-lasting perfume with a fragrance that appeals to you.
Well, like Gina Tay?
Yeah.
Gina Tay. I remember as a kid, that was like the only perfume I really knew about. Like, I would see, like, you know, my mom's perfumes or my aunt's and things like that. But I was like, that's for old ladies, right? Old ladies being anyone over, like, 13.
Yeah.
And I just remember getting to an age where I was like, oh, maybe I should try something. I think I bought some Gina Tay one time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they say splash it on yourself? So I, like an asshole, splashed it into my eye. It is mostly alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
It's mostly alcohol. And then there's some stank, some smell that they add to it that's like made in a factory somewhere, like, you know,
it's
off the turnpike.
My mother would wear that in the summer because it was very cooling and refreshing.
Yeah, because it was evaporating off of her at a quick clip because it's all alcohol.
Yeah.
It's awful.
As a young teen.
As a young Casimir.
We started off with Love's Baby Soft.
Yes, which doesn't smell bad.
Which actually smells like a new bag of diapers.
Yeah, it smells like, babies.
Yeah. So that's what you started with. And then you got a little bit older and you graduated to White Shoulders.
Now, I've never heard of White Shoulders. It sounds racist. Like, White Shoulders. Why would I have heard of it? Why would anyone who is not white use White Shoulder?
Yeah.
What is a white shoulder? Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
It's like, you know, it's like, I think the white picture shoulders. Was like the profile of a woman with like an off-the-shoulder gown and a pearl necklace.
But
so
what
it's
does,
classy.
What does white shoulders, like, what does that read for you? Like, as a young girl, were you like,
I think it reminded me of a very, like, a Victorian
kind of... Because you're showing that weird, like, kind of a cut on the top dress. White shoulders. Never heard of it.
Yeah, trying to keep you...
I'm thinking head, you know, white head and shoulders.
No. No.
Okay, so you graduated from Gina Tay to White Shoulders. Mm-hmm.
And then now you're in your 20s, so to speak. So now you're going to be like, I have to express myself.
I got to go to Macy's to the counter.
And then you start with the Chanel. Number five.
I always associate that to old ladies.
Marilyn Monroe wore that.
Really?
And so then you start wearing that.
Huh. I can't remember.
But
like,
it's too much.
It is too much.
It's way too much.
For a young girl.
Yeah.
I think about a mature woman having that kind of thing. Because you got to have something to go along to carry that.
Yeah.
White shoulders. Your young white shoulders cannot hold that kind of perfume. That's interesting. I didn't start wearing perfume until I worked in perfume when I was, like, in my 20s.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I guess I was just too rough and tumble. And after that whole Gina Tay in the eye thing, you can understand.
Okay.
I was put off.
Well, for sure.
Okay.
Another thing.
So, heartbreak.
Yes, you're going to strut your stuff with the right shoes.
No, you're not. You're not going to strut your stuff unless it's the 70s.
Yeah.
Or you're a cat.
Yeah.
Like a stray cat, for example. Strut your stuff. If someone told me to strut myself, I'd, sir.
You need a white suit. You have to walk down the street in Brooklyn.
Yes, and stretch yourself.
Yeah.
Be handsome, a handsome woman.
Yeah. Yeah, for a night on the town, your best bet is a high heel.
Oh, yeah. Ow. Oh, that's right. You don't wear high heels. I have to. I'm too small.
I wore heels the other day.
You did? Yeah. Where was I?
You weren't there.
I would love to have seen that.
It's like...
Katie always wears nice shoes, but they are not high heels. No. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, you put it that way. Yeah. Because that's the truth.
Also, too, I don't think I'd be able to see you down here. From down here at 5 feet tall.
Yeah, if I put on a pair of
heels. I'd be shouting up in the air. Hey, when are we recording next?
The strappy heels are feminine and work well with most dresses and skirts. So, yeah, if I'm wearing a dress or skirt, that's when I throw them on.
I like it.
Okay. But you know that there's a limit to everything, even this.
Even heels.
Even heels. If you have to stop and ask yourself whether a pair of heels is sexy or trashy, you can bet you'll probably be... Trashy.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I love wearing high heels. You rarely ever see them. I just wear them when we go out. We go to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. But I used to perform sometimes wearing very high heels. I can wear 7-inch heels, and I'm quite comfortable walking around in them. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, I'm still just an average size when I put them on.
Oh,
yeah. So, I'm only 5 feet tall. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with trashy shoes.
No, not at all.
Whatever, throw them on.
Use makeup to highlight key features.
Okay, thank you for that.
Yeah, they're just some very basic information here.
That's not going to be a heartbreaker. This just seems like,
yeah,
you know, how to, like, gussy yourself up.
Yeah, so they get to part three where it says, keep the act going. Take care of your body.
The act. The bit. That's my shtick.
Oh, God. They're telling. They have to say, like, stay in shape. Bathe regularly.
Bathe regularly?
Showering every 2 days can keep your skin glowing and your hair clean and healthy.
Every 2 days?
Yeah.
What?
I
mean...
That's weird.
Showering every 2 days.
Yeah.
I have to say, I mean, maybe it depends on the situation that you're in, but we live in the city and sometimes I take 2 showers in a day. It depends on what's going to get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
One shower? I'm trying to think of times when I haven't showered absolutely every single day.
When you're sick as a dog in bed.
Yeah, when you're sick.
And you can't.
Camping. Yeah. I think maybe if you're, like, in an extremely cold environment, but I can't think of anything else.
That's it. Otherwise,
I got to take a bath every day, yeah.
Here's another. Keep the act going is keep them wanting more. Never go too far with someone you only intend to play around with.
Just show one tit and then put it back in.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to do it. Flash them.
Well, they were saying.
Fish it out, then put it away.
Yeah, in and out. They don't even know what hit them. An occasional flirtatious touch or kiss may be acceptable.
However.
But never give the impression.
Quick beeges and HJs. Don't do it.
Yeah.
How about they just start the beach and then back off? Keep them wanting more.
Yeah.
That's rude. Keep the act going is what this is the title of this section.
Avoid personal attachments. If you want to avoid getting trapped or tied down, you want to avoid going out. Avoid giving out special treatment or getting to know any particular person too
well. How does this work? So I've done all this work to get somebody.
So now you're
now I've got someone. I have to kick him to the curb.
You have to have an emotional barrier.
Okay, this sounds like a lot of work to not get any emotions out of it.
Yeah, and then you move on. Avoid frequenting the same spots too often to avoid running into the same crowd.
True.
Because people may begin recognizing you. your reputation as a heartbreaker.
I have never... I don't know if I've ever been recognized at a place for dating.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think when I was younger, I think I was, you know, I would go to one location. Like, I wasn't like, well, some of my guy friends, they always went to the same place as the pickup girls. And I'm like, is that a good idea? Like, spread it around a bit.
Yeah.
Just because you've already seen what's there, not because people get to notice you. But I would feel awkward if I were dating and I went over to someone and they were like, oh, yeah, I saw you here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you went home with Janice.
With Janice. And what happened? I don't see Janice here now.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm on to you.
Yeah.
But this, I work here. I work from this location.
And then they end it with a warning here. And nowhere to draw the line. A heartbreaker who flirts casually is one matter, but a heartbreaker who leads someone on for months simply to be spoiled with gifts, money, and attention is another.
Is a very lucky one.
Yeah.
It's somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. And then remember the saying, what you reap is what you sow. A heartbreaker look and attitude can be a good way to protect yourself and attract attention.
Mm-hmm. But it's also the premise of many an 80s movie.
Yeah. Right.
Where the heartbreaker gets, someone gets angry at them and then tries to break their heart and they end up falling in love. Mm-hmm. Starring Molly Ringwald. Right. As Catherine Hagel.
Yeah, fooled around and fell in love.
Yes.
That's what the theme song is.
Oh, God.
Yeah, if you go around carelessly hurting others in a deep, long-lasting way, you may find yourself alone when all is said and done.
And you may find yourself in a song by George Michael as well.
Yes.
Never being able to dance again with those guilty feet.
Got no rhythm.
The guilty feet have got no rhythm. Yeah. It's got to be one of the best lines ever. I'd love to dance, but my guilty feet. I got three guilty feet. Ain't none of them got rhythm. Guilty feet have got no rhythm. All right, so speaking of celebrities, some guy in, where is he? In China, I believe? Sorry, Hong Kong.
Okay. Which is near.
Yeah, which used to be a part of the British Empire. Blah, blah, blah. So a robot built by Hong Kong-based product and graphic designer has a striking resemblance to Scarlett Johansson.
What?
Not only does it have a striking resemblance to Scarlett Johansson, I thought it was Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, no.
So he's made a robot. One of his life goals was to build a robot. And he did it over 18 months. It cost him $50,000 to make it. He made it himself. This is kind of what he does. He used 3D printing to create a skeleton that supports the machinery and computing power that runs the robot. The entire humanoid is covered in silicone skin to make it appear more lifelike.
Okay.
The robot is able to respond to questions and answers in a voice that's like clearly a robot's voice, but the lips are out of sync with what? Because he made it himself.
A dubbed.
Yeah, it looks like a dubbed film.
Yeah.
A dubbed Scarlett Johansson that sounds like a robot. It says that the eyes are extremely realistic. They look watery and they so I looked at the video. This creepy. The creepiest part is the eyes. So for whatever else this guy did, he should focus on that. Like he's got something going with making the eyes look human. But you can tell because it's in Uncanny Valley. So he said, "This is his quote: building a robot was a lifelong dream. Mm-hmm. I figured I should just do it when the timing is right and realize my dream. If I realize my dream, I will have no regrets in life." I wish I had a dream like that where I could make something that I knew how to make.
Yeah.
Like, that's not my dream. My dreams are amorphous and unreachable.
Right.
You know?
So they make me feel bad about myself. That's what my dreams are.
They're unattainable.
Yeah.
Other people are living my dreams.
Yeah.
This guy's doing his own thing.
It's like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Why am I not living your life?
So apparently Scarlett Johansson is not happy about it. People are really, really into her. I'm not that impressed by her. She looks like a lot of white women that I've met in my lifetime, but whatever. So apparently, as long as this guy isn't making any money off of it, there's nothing to be done. Mm-hmm. Like I could make, if I wanted to, a Katie robot. And as long as I don't try to bring it in here and start podcasting as you or try to sell it to the millions of people out there who want a Katie robot.
Yeah, because you know they're out there. This is a big
Then there's nothing you can do. I can make as many Katie robots as I want.
I feel violated.
Yes, exactly. So then they're thinking about, you know, it says celebrities might have to start trademarking not just their names, but their faces and voices.
I thought you couldn't do that unless you signed away that.
No, if it's for your own, it's for personal use.
But if he's selling it.
He's not selling it.
Oh.
He's not selling it at all. He just made it for himself. It's not a marketing thing.
Oh, that's scary.
Yes, it is scary.
So scary.
So then one woman said, a writer from Wired, April Glazer, says, it's unsettling because if a man can't earn the attention of a woman he longs for, is it plausible for that man to build a robot that looks exactly like his love interest instead? And the answer, obviously, is yes. I think people have always been doing things like this, either getting women who look like the women they want or making the woman that they are with look like someone else, or just being with a weird doll.
Yeah.
Or a facsimile of someone. But there's really nothing that you can do about it.
Yes.
And I personally, I mean, I guess it's really, really hard to be an incredibly popular celebrity that everybody wants to be with. But as a regular ass woman, I'm not worried about this. I don't think there's any. Somebody out there wants to make a robot of me. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Enjoy. You'll find zero takers. I guarantee you. I haven't seen a black robot yet. I just wanted to throw that out there.
No.
Mm-mm.
I haven't seen it yet.
It seems like most of the freaks that make these things are really interested in white women, so be careful. I'm just giving a shout out to you.
I don't think anybody's making a robot out of my life.
You don't know that? You have no idea. You are white, you're blonde.
It's just a generic.
Scarlett Johansson is white and blonde. There you go.
Well, she has a particular look. I mean, nobody's going to be like, oh.
You don't. Hey. If she weren't Scarlett Johansson and I just showed you this picture, you'd be like, it's just some white woman from down the street. Prince name probably like Rhonda or something.
Yeah.
Drives a Civic. Okay. Works at Tasty Freeze or whatever.
Tasty Freeze.
Whatever. She's just like a regular person.
Yeah.
This is, she's not, doesn't look special to me. It's not like she's building Iman.
Yeah.
Who is a very straight, like, if, yes. you know, you're like, this is someone. But if you just showed, if someone made a Jennifer Aniston, it'd be like, who is this woman?
Yeah.
Cut her hair right. Yeah. You know? All right, so what do you have?
I have advice.
All right, so advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice, hence.
Advice on advice. Yeah.
So who's this from?
This is Prudence. Dear nice. Prudence, yeah. Dear Prudence, my sister got married recently. Some weeks before the big day, she pulled me aside and asked me to dye my bright blue and purple hair a more innocuous color so it wouldn't stand out too much.
Okay.
She wouldn't listen to reason as to how I love my hair nor how... as to how the process of bringing it to a more natural color would be difficult, expensive, and damaging.
Mm-hmm.
At the suggestion of a friend, I invested in an excellent honey brown human hair wig, similar to my
actual... Wow, that's expensive.
Yeah, similar to my actual hair texture and length.
Mm-hmm.
Her big day went off without a hitch, and she never seemed to notice my innocuous hair.
Innocuous hair?
At the end of the reception... after nearly everyone had left and my family and I were helping tidy up, I removed the wig.
Mm-hmm.
My sister freaked out.
Why?
She's still angry and she says that I violated her trust and that for the rest of her life, when she looked at her wedding pictures of the family together or me in the background, she'll know that there's blue and purple hair under there and it will infuriate her.
So your sister is a bitch and a control freak.
Yeah.
That's all that's about. She didn't really care about the hair.
Yeah.
She didn't even know that you... That must have been a hot wig.
Yeah,
like, it
kidding.
Must have looked really it, nice.
Really. And if that was the reason, I don't want you to stand too much out too much at the wedding.
I get it.
You did it.
It's the same yeah. thing, like, because I have a lot of tattoos, but if someone asked me to be in something and they were like, would you mind covering your tattoos? As long as... And with makeup, I'd be like, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. Or wear something that was no, not, right. because you don't want that to be... the thing that stands out
right.
in the picture.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's totally fine.
Yeah.
And you can do that and be, you know.
Yeah. And a wig, amount. It's fun.
Yeah. But understand her point that it is expensive and to change her
But
whole
she
look.
Did it. She did the whole thing. And when everything was over, she was helping clean up, by the way.
Yeah.
Which means that not only was she in the party, but now she's pressed into service.
Yeah.
After this long day of sitting around with a hot wig on.
Mm-hmm.
She took it off. And now her sister's angry.
Yeah. So she goes on to say, I don't see any problem with what I did. I don't want to change my hair color for one day in her life. I even invested in a hairpiece specifically meant to give her peace of mind. I had a
Which I'd like to once again say how expensive those are. Human hair wigs?
Yeah. I hadn't considered telling her about the wig beforehand simply because she was busy and as long as I showed up with normal hair, it should have been fine. How am I wrong here? Do I owe it to my sister to actually color my hair for her wedding? I wasn't even a bridesmaid.
What? Oh, okay. I wouldn't have put the wig on at all. I thought she was going to be in the wedding party and stuff like this. It seemed like she just invited you to do some washing up afterwards.
Yeah.
She didn't want the servants to look like they were punk,
yeah, right,
punk
right,
rock.
Right.
What an asshole.
Yeah. So, you know what the advice is?
Oh, no.
The advice is on a page that's not here.
Are you serious? I'm going to critique that. My advice is you need to print out your material.
I can't believe it. I picked this. I have pages of material here to read, and I picked the one.
Katie comes to each recording with a folder, if not several folders. Various sizes of bundles of paper clips, and everything looks very organized.
It does look very
organized. But apparently...
I can't believe it.
Well, you're going to have to critique my advice.
All right, so your advice is actually very good. And I agree. Yeah, the sister is a control freak and a bitch. You can't do that. You can't tell somebody...
But she wasn't even a bridesmaid. So, so basically, I want you at my wedding day... Mm-hmm. To look a certain way.
Yeah.
But you don't really have that. I mean, did she police how everyone else was going to show up?
I would assume so. Or not. No, because it's probably the sister thing. Because if you have a sister that's
you can't really tell everybody.
Yeah, if you have, but if you're competitive with people. And if you have a sister, you're going to probably attack that sister.
But green, which is her hair was green and
blue and purple.
That's actually not a big deal nowadays. I don't know. You know what I mean? I feel like people are very adventurous with hair. And maybe it was when we were kids.
Yeah.
But now a lot of people dye their hair. She put on a wig.
Yeah.
And suffered through that day. I'm imagining that, because I wear wigs sometimes, but I have very short hair. And when I wear a wig, I can braid it down. But, I mean, for some people, it's really difficult to get whatever they have naturally into a situation where they can then put the wig cap on, put the wig on top of it. It's really hot. Imagine wearing, like, I'm trying to imagine wearing two afros. This afro is already hot.
Yeah, I know.
Now I had to put another afro on top of it. And she did it. Yeah, no one even knew.
And, you know, the sister was going to risk hurting her feelings, but was just like, it's for me, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you. And she complied to being
Yeah, she did it. And no one even knew. Now she's just angry because it was there.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre. Yeah, isn't a lot of.
She didn't really change it. It was like, but you, I did what you wanted, like the, for the appearance.
Yeah. It's just so weird. People get really weird around their weddings. When Greg and I got married, I was like, we're having black tie. Mm-hmm. You know, just wear cocktail stuff. Because I figure everybody in New York has that. You don't have to wear a tuxedo. Mm-hmm. You could wear a dark suit. A couple people showed up wearing things that I was like, really? Oh. Like a flowered dress?
Oh.
That a wasn't flowered that, dress. First of all, it was out of season. Yeah. And it wasn't cocktail attire. Like, it wasn't something that you would.
It was like a sundress.
Yeah. I mean, but I was like, I didn't mind. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, well, now you just look tacky.
Yeah.
And out of place.
Yeah.
That's all. But it's like, what can you do? So a couple of older people came to my wedding who were kind of more, I would say, free-spirited. And they were wearing kind of their older, hippie, non-profit-y looking stuff. But that's fine, too. It's like, whatever. You just.
Yeah, that's who they are.
That's who you are. Like, it's not a big deal. The wedding is not about what other people are wearing. Mm-hmm. Ostensibly, it should be about what you're wearing.
Yeah.
If you care that much. And who cares about the other people?
Yeah.
My only requirement is that people get trashed.
Yeah.
And have a good time, play poker. All right. So I have a little penis news here.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So this is some historic penis news. Apparently, archaeologists and museum managers at the Cambridge Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology are showing a penis pot that is 1,700 years old.
Oh.
And it was used by Roman auxiliaries that were in Essex. So during the time of the Roman Empire, they were in England. And apparently this penis pot, it may have been used to drink from, and it was intended to be comedic. It's a pot that has on it a woman riding a chariot, and the chariot is being pulled by four penises.
All right.
That have chicken feet.
What?
You know, because they're pulling it.
Okay, so they gotta have feet. It has to make sense.
It has to make sense.
Yeah.
And it was. Theorized that the penis pot was used after they would get back from a mission or at the end of the day. Cock pot, if you will. Oh, yeah, the feet.
That's like chicken feet.
It's I didn't think about that. Because of cock. So the guys, after a long day of doing whatever they were doing, they would get together and drink out of it. And it was funny.
Yeah.
It was like a camaraderie kind of thing.
Okay.
So they were looking at phalluses and throughout Roman iconography. They're not always sexual. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're saying they can be protective. So they found phalluses around the town boundaries, which is a good way to keep people away.
Yeah.
Play some dicks around.
Yeah.
They also would make little gold rings for children. And the penis was supposed to ward off evil influences. So it was kind of like a...
Like an evil eye kind of
thing. Yeah, the evil eye or the way people wear like a heart
or
cross or something like that. Like a symbol that was supposed to ward off
evil. Interesting that it was, and it wasn't considered pornographic.
Just, little kid wearing a ring with a little penis on it.
Fine.
You know, whatever.
Yay.
So the pot, it dates from around the 3rd century AD. And they said that the pot has been around the museum for a long time. Mm-hmm. But that I guess during the Jacobean era, they started to hide things that they thought were improper for women to see if women were going to museums. Oh. So then they would have private showings without women where all the dick stuff would come out or the naked stuff would come out. So this is like, you know, works of art and antiquity
mm-hmm.
that women weren't allowed to see
oh.
because they thought women would be scandalized. I bet you my Jacobean ass would have been biting and like spitting and like breaking down the door to get in to see this stuff. Come on.
Yeah.
You know?
People have the wrong ideas.
Yeah. It says it's from Lord Baybrook's collection. Working theories that was one of the objects that was not put on public display, but maybe only brought out when there were only men around and they were drinking and having cigars. Well, they always cut us out of the fun.
I know.
You know?
They got to be good. The thing is, guys, when they want to hang out together and be guys, it's because they need to relax and know that they're not impressing.
And that's fine.
Because guys get a little, you know, like, oh, I want to impress the women.
Yeah, and I understand
and I
that
can't be dirty.
Guys want to be by themselves, and sometimes women want to be by themselves. But come on, who doesn't enjoy a penis pot?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of interesting. It also says they're going to be using they have a program coming up with public workshops. And it's called Sex in Six Objects. So it's objects from antiquities or, you know, that are sexual in orientation. And they're going to explore the history of sexuality from cross-dressing to pregnancy tests.
Okay.
It's a chance to go behind the scenes of our collection and see some items that feature iconography. And they want to use these items to open up conversations about sex and sexuality.
Okay.
Which I think is kind of cool. So, yeah, it's a penis pot. The part about the feet also made the woman from the museum laugh. But she says, of course, penises, because they couldn't pull a chariot without feet.
Yeah.
It's just like a weird detail.
Yeah, yeah.
That they put in there. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I guess we have to think about that back then, you know, before TV and all that kind of stuff. You had to amuse yourself somehow. And I'm sure looking at an image of a penis or four penises pulling a chariot, that's funny every day.
Yeah.
After a long day of, like, tramping around, you know, old England, mm-hmm. trying to keep it together.
Because there's not many amusements out there at that time.
That's funny. I mean, it's the same reason why, you know, when someone spray paints a dick on something, it's still funny.
Okay.
Like, it's still funny to me. Okay, what do you have?
I have here, this is an interesting article.
It is?
Scientists have developed a new way to exterminate rats by identifying and synthetically replacing the male brown rat's sex pheromone.
No, he's not going to like that.
Yeah.
He's like, last week it was all about me.
So it's like, new way to smell a rat means end for rodents.
Yeah, good luck.
That's what they say. The chemical is a powerful attractant for luring female brown rats into traps.
You're going to see rats now starting to wear gold.
Yeah.
Drive cars. Get a little money.
Yeah. So at the time when a rat populations around the world are inflicting serious harm, understanding rat behaviors and preferences is important. Rats, they spread disease, allergens, diminish agricultural crops,
mm-hmm.
threaten animals, and endanger seabirds.
Yeah.
So they're problems.
They're bad.
They really are. The brown rat is the world's most common rat, and its population mm-hmm. is growing.
And I think we can thank Europe for that, aren't they? Isn't it Europe that's been taking rats all over the world, basically? Thanks, guys. thanks, overlords.
Yeah.
Like, true.
Because
I think our rats are from New York. Aren't they originally from Norway or something?
Yeah, Norway. Like that? Yeah. In the lab and in field experiments, female brown rats readily enter trap boxes baited with the male brown rat's sex pheromone. So
what a disappointment. You know how that is, ladies.
Ladies.
You get into the Lex.
We're beginning to speak rat.
No.
they say. We're beginning to understand that their pheromones, we understand their sound communication and can reproduce it. And we understand their food preferences.
Okay.
So knowing all of that and then putting it in one delicious package.
Yeah. There's a female rat going in there and be like, this is the shit.
Yeah.
What?
Snap.
Girls, run. It's a trick.
Yeah, the discovery forms a part of a promising three-pronged rat control tactic that the researchers are developing to exploit the rat's own communication system.
Okay.
It enhances rat capture tenfold or more.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's just like, I feel bad. Somehow I feel like offended for the ladies.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's so rude targeting the women. It's again a
trick.
Misogyny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a misogyny.
We're identifying with the female rats. Yeah.
Yeah, where it's just like, we're just trying to live.
Yeah.
And then you're killing
us. We're just trying to do.
Yeah.
What we do.
Yeah, so yeah, they're doing that. I guess because they carry the babies, so they kill the female.
But I mean, it takes two to tango, people.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Ain't no female rats getting knocked up on their own.
Right.
Okay.
So these male rats are ready, just running around.
Yeah, they're like, we're still sleeping with female rats.
Yeah.
We just don't have to pay child support.
Right.
This is perfect.
It's like GOP rats.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I feel like, I'm like, yay, goodbye to the rats, but I'm just like, you know,
there's something weird about it.
There is misogyny.
Yeah. Go after both, you know, groups.
Yeah.
Maybe try to put a sexy female rat, like behind a glass or something.
And why aren't they doing it that way? Because don't the rats go after the women?
I don't know. Who knows?
So why don't
this
you
is
have,
their this is their idea?
So why don't you just have the female pheromones and yeah. put it like a big, you know, well, and all the male rats jump into it and drown?
I would think so. Yeah, that works too. We're flipping the script on this rat business, yeah. people.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
It's so weird. Yeah. And I'm a kind of. I'm torn.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Well, I have a little thing here. It's not really a segment, but a couple of years ago, we were reporting on Jason Statham for a while.
Yes, yes.
Whereupon I said, Statham, I hardly know him. By the way, I love Jason Statham. I don't care what anybody says. He's a multi-million dollar man. He was hilarious in Spy mm-hmm. with Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really funny. So he's got a new film coming out. Apparently, it's a shark movie.
What?
So this is two things I like. You know I like sharks.
Oh, yeah.
And you know I like Jason Statham.
And I like sharks, too. And mm-hmm. I liked him, too.
He's all right.
Yeah.
So the new movie has come out. It's basically Jaws in China. It's called Meg.
What?
I know. This is how you know that it's a foreign film. Because the name Meg. So it's the first big studio lead in a while for Statham, who has played co-starring roles in Fast and Furious and in Spy, where he did some more of his mm-hmm. comic work mm-hmm. that he started out with. The script is called Meg, and it's about an attempt to kill a giant shark killing swimmers along the China coast. They figure out that the shark is a megalodon, so I think they're calling it Meg for short.
Okay.
Which is, it's just not good, though.
No, it's not. It makes it seem like it's going to bake muffins.
Maybe. Yeah, it doesn't sound horrifying
to me.
Meg. Here comes Meg.
Oh.
You know, it's like, good. Watch out for Francis.
Yeah.
They're the raptor. So it's a megalodon, considered one of the largest and most powerful predators in history. I would argue that it was the most powerful, one of the most powerful predators in history. It can reach a maximum of 60 feet long. I don't know why they're saying it can reach. From what I know, megalodon was in the past.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. So basically it's Jaws in China, and they say it's being directed by this guy called John Turteltaub.
Okay.
So that was the first name mentioned, John Turteltaub. So I'm like, let me look up and see what gems this guy has done. Mm-hmm. Three Ninjas,
mm-hmm.
he directed. Cool Runnings.
Mm-hmm.
National Treasure. The TV show
Jericho.
Yeah. Harper's Island, one episode. Common Law, one episode. Last Vegas, the Elder Quest movie.
Okay.
Rush Hour, the TV series, one episode. And then National Treasure 3, apparently. So, not really, I don't know if he's going to be able to handle this. I don't see a lot of a creature features in this guy's resume.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
an action, not a lot of...
Three Ninjas?
All right, Cool Running. See, they went fast.
Oh, you really trying to sell it to me like that? They went quickly? That was about the Jamaican bobsledding team.
Yeah, and when you bobsled, you go fast. So, yes, I mean, maybe that translates over.
I don't see the Instinct. I don't even know what that is. Remember Instinct?
Yeah.
And then a movie called More, Patience. Mm-hmm. So a lot of TV stuff. So I don't know. I'm going to go see it because two things are in it that I really, really like. And that's Jason Statham. And the other thing is sharks.
Okay.
I've been working on a little piece of a film that I'd like him to do as well. Where he plays himself multiple times. Actually, he plays all the characters.
That would be neat. It's like a Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
But
with someone who I think is still funny.
Yeah.
And relevant. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. Phrase like an asshole. I say it so much. I don't know where I got it from, but it's awful.
Like an asshole.
Yeah, I was telling someone a story the other day. I was like, you know, so I'm waiting for the bus to come. I'm standing like an asshole for 15 minutes. And then I realized, like, why is that like an asshole?
Yeah.
Like, what, do I just see myself as some kind of asshole all the time? Well, like, what's the asshole part of waiting for the bus? Everyone's waiting for the bus. Yeah. Why am I the asshole doing it?
Yeah.
Or why am I doing in the manner of an asshole?
Yeah, when you're just setting up the story.
Yes.
It's why like, are you doing that? Okay. Like that's asshole. Interesting. Yeah, I never really.
So I was like, I'm going to try to curb myself from saying, like, an asshole.
Okay.
So much. I'll see how that goes. So what do you have? I'm over here talking about like an asshole.
An article, advice, Greg's email.